Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com. Nominate now for Penn National's biggest day of the season, the $400,000 Grade 2 Penn Mile and the $150,000 Penn Oaks will both run Friday, June 2nd, on a card that also includes four Pennsylvania bread stakes, each with a $100,000 purse. Call the racing office at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse, 800-233-8238. That's 800-233-8238.
SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, second half, and a very quick rundown as we reach for Scott Shapiro and get the Shap's thoughts in on the weekend. But last night, the Sovereign Awards in Canada, and Moira, the Horse of the Year, not surprisingly, and Cairo Consort was the two-year-old filly. Philip, my dear, the silent name, was the two-year-old male. And, of course, Moira, also the three-year-old filly. Surfershire, the male three-year-old. Female sprinter, Hazel Brook. That Fio di Ariana, who we were impressed with, kind of burst on the scene, won both the male sprinter and the male turf horse. Lady Spite Spear, unsurprisingly, your older actually, she was, she was older female champ as well as female turf horse. Who's the Star, older male, and Count to Three, a Red Ransom mare, was the outstanding broodmare. The Human Awards, top of Human Awards, breeder, Adina, owner, Bruno Schickendanz, Mark Cassie, leading trainer, Kaz Kimura with another jockey nod as outstanding jockey, top apprentice Slade Jones. And very nicely, and this is something we might want to take up in the United States, outstanding grooms, Amber Hutchinson and Ricardo Nicholson. Good job. George Williams won a writing award, photograph Alain de Laplante and Julie Wright, and Woodbine Entertainment got the audiovisual and the E.P. Taylor Award of Merit to Dale Saunders. So there was your Sovereign Award winners from last night in T.O. And Scott Shapiro, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you, sir?
Good. Steve Anderson joined us from Aintree. Where are you joining us from?
Not quite the same allure. My third floor loft here, overlooking many other apartments in the east side of Louisville. But we've got But pretty soon we'll be overlooking some much more fun stuff when we will be chat, in fact, very soon. But, yeah, got to go up to Keeneland on Wednesday. Might get to go up tomorrow. I'm taking a few days to see my parents starting Sunday morning, so I have to see if I can pull it off, but get a little bit of a break before the storm comes into the Derby. But, yeah, just, you know, very exciting times, my favorite time. Obviously, you know, since moving to Kentucky is kind of when the Keeneland meet starts. You know, the Turfway meet's fun, but the weather isn't, so... Definitely freshening to get the sun out and some warmth and see a lot of people.
No doubt. And we will see you starting next Saturday. We'll be in town. So
you're getting in next Saturday?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, we. I'll be up there most days. We start the morning work shows Monday, so a couple days after you get in. So I'll be up there every morning and looking forward. A lot of the horses already in or will be in in the near future.
Well,
so should be a fun lead up as always.
Well, and there's already, yeah, there's already 10 Derby horses, and then you got the Pletcher crew.
Pletchers, right.
Starting to come in this weekend. And so it feels like there's actually quite a few more on hand early, the way things are shaping up. Yeah.
We all love it, particularly, I'll be selfish and say myself, because on the work show, there was one year where there wasn't that many in, and you find yourself having to say something creative when there's nothing creative to say about one of five horses that are out there every day in the Derby or Oak Saddle Cloths, you know? So
exactly.
Todd Pletcher, very thankful that he is, you know, done this thing where he you know, makes it center base, brings them in early to get them, you know, obviously to get them, you know, multiple stretches over the track, but it's definitely allowed the content to be better, particularly this year with the strong hand he holds.
Yes, and some years, you know, not all that hasn't always been the approach either. I mean, there was sometimes when he wouldn't come in until Sunday or Monday before Derby.
Yes.
Well, let's take advantage of what we are looking at for the weekend, and I guess
I want to do the leaderboard first. I know you mentioned you teased it. I heard you talking to James.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, it looks like it's way over here. A very impressive effort. Not sure how we got there exactly with the information that I have on hand at the moment, but Andrew from California, pretty much lapping the field to an extent. He has 1,085 points, and it's well over 600. It's over 650 back to second with, 150 back to second with Rob from Iowa. And then it's tight, though, for second and third. I mean, you got another Andrew from Florida, 892, Jeff from Ohio, 880, and a number of people in the higher to mid 800. So there's a lot to play for in terms of second and third. But in terms of the winner, Andrew, under wraps here, under the wire in the Lexington.
Outstanding. Congratulations. What does he win?
He wins. Let's see what he wins. He wins $15,000.
Yep.
He's got $15,000 and a VIP trip to the Derby for two. He's in California, so hopefully he can make the trip, and he'll also have the opportunity, like last year's winner, to come on and handicap a race with myself and Joe Christosek. We'll see if, you know, some like to take advantage of that. Some would rather not speak to us or speak publicly, so that's their option. But, you know, I talked about it being close for second and third. Second's $10,000 in a VIP trip. So that's, you know, not that much of a, it's not too top heavy here.
No.
Like any other contests, you know, in horse racing and in other sports. So definitely something to play for those that are playing for second, $8,000 for third, $6,000 for fourth, and then still multiple $1,000s all the way back to ninth, and then $1,500 for 10th.
Very nice. Well, congratulations to everybody that looks to cash, and it's really fun. This has been going on. Yeah, it's been going on for years, and it always captures everybody's imagination and gets everybody keyed up for the prep season. And prep season officially closes out tomorrow with the Lexington, and we could get a Derby starter if Disarm can be third or better. Let's start there, actually, Scott.
Yeah, I heard Marcus's. I agree with Marcus's opinion on the winner of the race. I don't agree that First Mission will not be the favorite. I think First Mission, unfortunately, will be the favorite. I'm hopeful that he's right and I'm wrong, but I'm all in on this colt. I mean, you know, he spoke about the quality of that Risen Star maiden race at 6 furlongs on February 18th when Bishop's Bay, his stablemate, was odds on. Bishop's Bay got the jump. He broke a little slow, ran huge in defeat that day. Got out of the gates better, stretched out the two turns, clearly from everything, pedigree, looks, etc. He's a two-turn horse and found good position that day, but did relax well, which I think is going to be key in here because there is some speed in here. I mean, particularly Arabian Lion and Curly Larry and Mo also from the far outside. So I don't think they're going to go slow early. James spoke a bit about Transect, who will have the blinkers after the disappointing effort, understandably, over the mud in the Gotham. I think he's going to sit right in that second tier. If for some reason a couple of the speeds don't break well or change tactics, he obviously can take advantage of that and maybe even, you know, be on the pace. He's got Sayas, so you know he's going to be ridden aggressively. But I think this is a serious horse. I mean, looking at Thoroughgraph, looking at any numbers, but two big efforts on Thoroughgraphs. In fact, I mean, you could argue he's fast enough to win the Derby, which he won't be in, regardless of outcome here. But definitely a horse that I think will prove his worth, whatever you want to say, in this Lexington, and maybe move on to the Preakness or Belmont. We'll see.
I like it. All right. What else at Keeneland tomorrow?
Well, I mean, I don't have much to offer creatively in the Jenny Wiley. I think an Italian will be tough to beat in there. It was interesting to note Marcus's with the Moonlight opinion, who I trust his opinion overseas much more than myself. Maybe that'll give us some opportunity to place some horses underneath the exotics, and particularly Queen Goddess, who continues to impress. I think she'll get the right trip within Italian. But we do have some value plays throughout the rest of the card. Race 6, I like I think it's a wide open maiden special weight to kick off the dollar pick 6 there, the traditional pick 6 variety. And number 7, Oldest Sister, interests me here. This is a daughter of Will Take Charge that debuted at Tampa for Vicky Oliver. Now, Vicky attracted Luis Saez in that race, went off at 6-1, both noteworthy because Vicky's just 2% with maiden special weight 3-year-old firsters. So anytime her horses show anything, I think it's worth noting. This one chased the pace that day against the flow, where they ran 1-2 around the track. Saez sticks around to ride. I think she's going to take a big step forward, so I'm going to make her my key horse in the 6th at 15-1. And another horse that I think is going to run better than we saw in the most recent start is number 5, Nurse Kringle Dances, who disappointed in 2 starts as the favorite at Churchill, but took money and was highly regarded for the Wilkes Barn despite being just a $7,000 purchase. She's been given time since those efforts in Louisville, comes in, gets Lasix for the first time. Maybe she was a bleeder, not quite sure, but at 12-1, I'm going to include her as well. So 7-5 for me in a race that includes the very well-bred Skilla, but I would think that she's a filly that is going to want more ground in the end.
All right, Oldest Sister, 15-1 for Oliver and Ian Wilkes, who certainly can win at Keeneland, already has. So, interesting group, maiden filly,
yeah,
3-year-old.
Pretty wide open.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe a price can come out of that group. The 7th, I landed on Principe d'Oro. I think that's a somewhat popular opinion. In many ways, because some of these others I've kind of seen enough of, particularly on the win end. If Barbara Rhodes is going to be the favorite, I'll be trying to beat him again. I respect Master Game, great claim by Grant Forster and his team. It's really with the idea, I know Grant right away, the plan was to stretch out. This horse has run 2 bang up races at 2 turns. This is a step up, but I just think Principe d'Oro should be good. It's good to go on the stretch back out. It was pretty quick fractions back in the return race on February 25th. And probably has the ability to relax just off if Master Game gets an aggressive ride from Saez. But either way, I don't know if we'll get 6-1, but I like Principe d'Oro to kick off the late pick 5.
6-1 for the 4 with Irad.
Yes, sir. And then the Giants Causeway, I think, is a good betting race. I think it's relatively wide open. I agree with James. I don't think it's a strongest of strongs, but that makes it kind of a challenging analytical puzzle where there's several ways to go. And I'm going to go with number 12, Star Divine, off the bench for Jorge Abreu. Real good effort to close the campaign in Aqueduct. Has run well in both tries at Keeneland, including the third-place effort in the Grade 3 Franklin to Caravel and Thundering Creed. Last fall over this course, broke from the inside that day and didn't really have much speed. The hand was kind of forced by Adam Bisquitza, who rode that day, to be a little bit over-aggressive to get into position from the inside. I think the outside post will work out favorably with Jose Ortiz back aboard. He was back on the last win, and hopefully she's ready to fire fresh. Abreu, just okay numbers off 90-plus day breaks. That's the one knock I would have, but I kind of like her a little bit with the trip and the success over the course.
All right.
And in the 11th, I don't think we're going to be 15-1. Maybe we will, but I think Ironic Twist, shipping in from Mark Glatt, lightly raced five-year-old, very interesting, rattled off two wins as a four-year-old, went to the sidelines for quite some time, comes back in a pretty competitive allowance event at Santa Anita, stumbles at the start, battles early and tires late. And I just think this race maybe needed the race. And it's interesting. I know Glatt had some stables at Churchill. He's kind of had a couple runners. He's had one runner, actually, so far at Keeneland. And he gets Flavian Pratt, and I think we're going to get a good trip with this horse at a good price.
I like the fact that Glatt sending some in, and this one had a chance to get a work in too over the track.
Yep.
So Ironic Twist, 15-1. We'll see. I know that who did we talk to? Was it Marcus or was it Marty that liked Tarabi for Cherie out in the open air 2-1?
Yeah, much respect for Tarabi. I mean, I think this is a very good horse. Not sure exactly what happened. Just had to start in the Dogwood. It ran second to Echo Zulu in a compact field that, like you said, the fresh air should be perfect for daughter of First Samurai. No knocks on her other than the likely price.
And I'm just looking at the pace scenario in here. I think
you got
Overcharged.
Top Gun Girl.
Yep.
Overcharged.
Yep.
I think it'll be muted. I think it'll be quick. I don't think it'll be chaos. So like the second tier spots for me, which Tarabi and Ironic Twist, I think should get, are pretty attractive.
Clever idea. Radio Days shows up here too, second off the long
layoff.
What
do you think of her?
She's okay. Second off the layoff and ran okay in the comebacker.
Trouble too.
Yeah.
Had some trouble in there.
All right. So if she gets back to, you know, the other direction, she can win too. What are we getting on 7-2? But I read six.
She just hasn't really, after, you know,
yeah.
I felt like she might even be an Oaks type last year.
Yep.
It's turned out probably better at one turn, but just hasn't really taken the steps forward. You can make the, you know, the excuse in terms of numbers with the trouble last time, which I'm very willing to do. I'm not all in on numbers when there's reasons to question. But yeah, she just hasn't taken that step forward. If she's going to get, you know, over bet, I'd lean other ways, but certainly makes sense.
Let's step forward toward Oaklawn and get the...
I am Oaklawn-less this week, unfortunately.
Really? I'm shocked.
Yeah, no
shocked.
More Oaklawn. I am no longer Oaklawn. Oaklawn is no longer on my list of duties at Churchill. And because of the vacation time, trying to get ahead on getting ahead of things, I have not been
well,
in...
That's all right. That's fine.
To look at it.
All right.
My apologies.
No
I
problem.
I realize when you... No, I do need to look at that sprint. I do, because listening to James and Marcus and you talk about it sounded very intriguing.
It is.
But
it's
I just
good.
Haven't gotten to it yet, so I do apologize to you
not
and the audience.
All. Not at all. That's all right. Anything else? You got anything from today?
I like in the seventh, the Limestone. I like number six, Just a Care. I think there's plenty of speed in this race from inside to out. And I think this is a horse that's going to run a big race third off the break. The getting out of the gate has been a little bit of an issue, but making up the ground that she did at Gulfstream in that stakes event, first time against winners, where she finished second to Sassy Nature, who's in here as well, I was pretty impressed with that. Now she gets an extra half furlong. I think she gets a course much more favorable to her running style. So we'll roll with Just a Care at 8-1 in the Limestone. And I would also include number 7, Alluring Angel, with the same thought in mind that they could go at it up front. Off the layoff for Jorge Abreu, two turn races to end her 2-year-old campaign, but did do well sprinting to start her career at Saratoga and then in the Untappable at Kentucky Downs. And if she gets some pace, I think she can come rolling late at a big price.
This is a fun race, the Limestone today. 4:12 Eastern, the 7th. It starts the late pick 4 at Keeneland today, which also includes, of course, the Maker's Mark Mile, the Grade 1. All right, Chap.
Yes, sir.
That's you. That's the.
Can Modern Games get beat today? I haven't heard too many opinions. Is this the time to try to beat them?
I haven't looked closely at it, honestly.
Gotcha.
I thought Emmanuel. There's nothing. What's wrong with Emmanuel?
Yeah, that's who I picked. I think Emmanuel. I'm hoping Javier gives him a bit more aggressive a ride. I mean, he didn't need to give him an aggressive ride in the Tampa and the Gulfstream races. He was the horse to, he got a good trip in those races, but not much speed. I know James mentioned Shea Pierre. That might be the speed horse. Either way, we draw outside that one. We could either go sit right off or go to the front. I mean, this is a horse that had some more speed early in his career, so he can relax on the front end at this point. So I'm going to try to beat Modern Games with Emmanuel. Not a crazy confident opinion, but if the price differential is what it is on the morning line, I think that's somewhat attractive.
Very good. Scott Shapiro, everybody. Scott Shap 34. Shap, I will see you. Well, we'll talk next week, but we'll see you next week.
Sounds good to both. Look forward to it. Have a great rest of your time in New Orleans.
Thank you, buddy. Scott Shapiro, folks. Let's keep it rolling. Got to get to I can see that Cali is into the bit. when you get the I'm ready, that's a signal. That's a signal. I just was saying, Callie, that when I get the text from you that says I'm ready, that I can sort of see you tapping your foot. I'm ready.
I mean, technically, I was working on my nails, so I was technically tapping my nails on my desk. But you were pretty close.
I know what that. I know when Tina calls up to me, I'm ready. That why am I always waiting for you? Is what she says. She says, "I'm the girl. Why am I waiting for you?"
Oh my gosh! But hi, hello. How are you?
I'm great, and I'm pleased that racing has resumed there in Anne Arundel County.
Yes, everything is all tip-top shape here. We just had our first turf race yesterday, and it went great.
Well, the weather, I'm sure, is, given that New York is also grass racing, we're in good shape. We've turned the corner.
I mean, yeah, here's the thing. It's been tough this last week because the past week we had the weather went from mid-80s to 30-some degrees in the span of 36 hours.
Wow.
Yes. So it's going to affect a lot of things.
Well, the card tomorrow with the 4 stakes and with the 2 play-in races, the Weber City Miss and the Federico Tessio, chances to find a spot in the Black-Eyed Susan Gate and the Preakness Gate. Let's start with those, Callie. Start with the girls. They're going the mile and 16th, the quick jump into the turn, and we got a field of 7.
Yes, field of 7, and I'm going to take a horse on the outside, Vera's Baby Gal, Brittany and Sheldon Russell together. Stretched out for the first time back in January, and we haven't seen her since. Not particularly concerned about that. She did have her entered in the Beyond the Wire on the 18th of March, but scratched and essentially opted to come here in this spot. So we got to refer back to that one-turn mile effort. It was a fair number, but I feel like this filly just has much more to offer than what we saw last time out. It was clearly an easy field, but she was meant to go longer, which is exactly why she won by how much she won by. So her mom was a grade three sprinter. There's a little bit of routing with the half siblings, so it's interesting to see all of this kind of come up. But you do have American Pharoah, who's 16% with his second time routers.
Nice. Going to go as the second choice, at least morning line. Butchie Reed shows up with Girl Trouble with Paco Lopez. He of the Wood Memorial win last week, but Pharoah's Baby Gal and Sheldon, who got his first win since coming back yesterday.
Yes, yep, got his first win since coming back. Got it taken care of right away. He's good. Everything's good with Sheldon.
Excellent. All right. The boys' race. Let's go to the very interesting field of nine that comes mm-hmm. together for the Tessio.
Okay. So I've got to go. I am going to go with the Butch Reed 90% Maddie with Paco on top. The top performer numbers-wise out of that last race. I mean, that was just a stunning win. But the first thing I like about this horse is that he comes back off of essentially a tough wrap-up in the Withers to just come back and win very, very stylishly, just with total ease. So this is a horse, he beat a horse that's actually proven over this mile and an eighth distance. So he beat out Time to Cruise back at Laurel back at some point last year. But I'm going through a couple of things. That horse came up to Parks. He's beat out a horse who has understood this distance already, because that's the biggest question, right? Who can handle this mile in the eighth distance here today? And I think just with the five post doesn't really rile me at all, but the horse fits Paco's style. The horse is pretty straightforward, just very impressive that last time out. So as long as we see something in the realm of that again, I think things are pretty set in sail with him. Underneath, I do have Prince of Jericho, which brings me to laugh a little bit about Sheldon Russell since he's on this guy again today. So I'm thinking about this time after the horse ran in the heft and essentially I was there in the paddock I was there in the circle for the spectacular bid, and the valet who came up and was just attending to the horse at the time is actually Sheldon Russell's valet. So, essentially, his name is Bobo. He said, you know, the whole thing was that Sheldon didn't really get into this horse in the heft. So, Carol Cedeno, she gets to the 3/8 pole in the spectacular bid, and she wallops this horse on the shoulder, which just made me crack up. It really made me laugh because this horse goes on and wins by 4, and then he gets some trouble early on in the Miracle Wood and ran well. But Sheldon is going to be back for a little bit of vengeance on this horse, and just had some unluck last time in the Miracle Wood.
Some Munnings out of the Medaglia d'Oro mare, Golden Review, bred by our friend Ed Seltzer. And this has been a nice horse. Ed Seltzer breeds a nice horse. Michael Dubb and Morris Bailey. So the familiar yellow jacket with the pink mm-hmm. Emblem. 3-1 mm-hmm. on Prince of Jericho. I do want to ask about the pair behind Hayes Strike from the private terms, because Coffee with Chris is going to save ground inside for
John Saltzman Jr.
For John Saltzman, right. And at 8-1, it feels like the right price in here is Circling the Drain.
Yes, I have Circling the Drain underneath. He didn't get so what happened last time out in the private terms, so two things about that private terms run is that Coffee with Chris went, not only, he went 6 wide into the first turn and 5 wide into the second turn and was still second by a length, just under 2 lengths. So have that say within its, I'm going to have that say everything within itself. Now let's get back to Circling the Drain. Circling Drain did not get the best break last time out. He just didn't. The first 4 or 5 steps, it really wasn't there. So Toledo just kind of took him back a little bit. However, he was having a toot about it. He was not having it at all. He settled quickly, but he was just being a little sulky about that. So I think that really put into his performance of a bit of the lack of bid that you would have expected from him in that last time out of the private term. So I'm definitely going to be giving him another chance. A lovely price of 8-1. I agree, Steve.
Yeah. there's another consideration too for Brittany Russell and Sycamore Hall. This is a homebred out of Who's Cozy. This is a horse that at some point you got to expect will show up on the grass, circling the drain. And then there's Coffee with Chris, who has done very little wrong all winter.
Correct. He's done very, that's a great way to put it, very little wrong. As I mentioned, 6 wide going into that first turn, 5 going into the second turn. Now he has an inside post. Now the question is he going to go for it, or is he just going to try and make a little bit of a trip? If he's going to the lead, he's going to have to dogfight it the entire way around, which he has done before, going around one turn in the heft. So we'll see what comes of that. But obviously the Butch Reed horse has more gate speed coming out of there, so working out an easier trip may not be as challenging as one would think. So it's really all in Jamie Rodriguez's hands. But I wouldn't be surprised if Salzman got into the paddock and said, "Hey, send, go for it," or if he left it up to Jamie. And either way, this horse has a couple of options. But being on the one post is going to be a bit more advantageous, and it's not as scary to me with this one.
Well, the Tessio comes up really strong, 5:01 post time, the 10th of 11 tomorrow, and the pick 5 starts with the Heavenly Cause, and then the Frank Whiteley, the Weber City, and then the Tessio, and it ends with a 3-4-5-year-old maiden special going a mile on the grass. Let's talk about the 2 1-turn races and start the pick 5 with the Heavenly Cause. We're going to go the flat 1-turn mile, I suppose, past the Champagne, who we're familiar with from George Weaver, and looks like, I guess, Victor Barboza's horse, Beth's Dream, is going to get some attention. 2-1, Hybrid Eclipse comes back out of the Nellie Morse win, but goes one turn here, which has not been a problem for this 5-year-old mare. This is a nicely assembled field.
Very nicely assembled field. So I'm going to kick it off of that with the horse that you just mentioned in Hybrid Eclipse. 3-4 over this mile distance here today. I'm specifically looking back at the Caesar's Wish back in July. Here, after that race, Toledo, talking with Toledo, he said she was up there. I just went for it. So she's absolutely capable with this inside post of getting up there, taking a little bit of pressure, and being able to handle herself accordingly. It's going to be interesting to see what the plan is with her, whether now that Sheldon is back on her, whether he's going to take her from off of the pace, which he has done in his last 2 rides that he's given her, especially in the 38 Go-Go. Back going the 2 turns. So with her being on the inside, it makes things interesting, but with what I saw back in the Caesar's Wish, it helps me a lot with my faith in her. Let's see, who I have underneath. I also have Award Wanted, winner of the Geisha, over the 1-turn mile here. Personally, I just love the distance for this filly. Angel Cruz also fits this filly very, very well. She did just need a little bit more real estate last time in the Converse. She gets it today. Now let's add into the effect. Let's talk about Pass the Champagne for George Weaver Fergal Lynch. As you mentioned, you are already familiar with her. The mother was a route winner, so this should fit her, as well as obviously in the Wayward Lass, how well she performed there. So she's used to Laurel running in the Barber Fritchie. I want to say she's had an okay trip at that, but this filly's proven routing. I don't see, she gets an outside post, she's going to be getting an easier trip, I think. So if I was Angel, I would just let Rodriguez go, possibly with Best Dream, just right at the beginning, and just sit on her outside and track her, because Best Dream kind of hates company. It was an impressive win last time out. I didn't love the field that she won in, but for this 1-turn mile, the setup is going to be something she absolutely loves. And every time, if you go back, every time she's tried a 2-turn race, it just hasn't been the most fun for her. So she gets back to the 1-turn mile. I think it was a very smart move on Barboza Jr.'s job as far as placing this filly and entering her. So we'll see what happens there. But I mean, it's pretty cut and dry. Go to the lead. Don't turn back. You're on the outside. It's all systems go. So I have her in the mix. It's hard for me to pinpoint as far as a placement of these fillies, Steve. So right now I'm 2.569, but I actually 6.97, but I actually see myself going 2.975 with that. With Hybrid Eclipse, Beth's Dream, Pass the Champagne, and then Award Wanted to wrap things up.
Well, the Frank Whiteley is even more contentious. It would seem.
Yes.
Here's a 7/8 group that has got a lot of familiar horses and a lot of stakes runners. Norm Cash, who just sends them out with real regularity. How about Factor It In for Carlos Mancilla?
Mm-hmm.
Bank It, the New York bred, is 6-1 here for Steve Asmussen and Winchell and Parties. How about Witty shows up in here for McLean Hendricks?
Let me bring you up to date a little bit. Witty is going to be a scratch because he actually ran it yesterday.
Oh, there you
we
go.
Had Wonder Where Craig Is made his debut back today, and Witty almost caught Wonder Where Craig Is. If you guys can go back and watch that replay, I believe it is the feature race. It was either the 8th or the 6th. I think it was the 6th race. It was the 6th race, because now we have our super high five jackpot in race number 6 every day at Laurel Park. So it was race 6 yesterday, but Wonder Where Craig Is and Witty, that was an impressive watch. I highly suggest you go and watch that replay. So Witty's out. So let's talk about a couple of others in this field where I land on a price underneath. In number 8, Always in a Hurry for Phil Capuano, gets Georgie Rui back in the saddle. While Georgie Rui hasn't won on this horse, I absolutely appreciate when he gets the trip form. I love the way Georgie rides, but this guy just hasn't had the best of luck in these last couple of races, and I think it's because he's waiting to get back to the 7 furlong. So this one is 3-4 at the distance here today. I'm just giving him a little bit, maybe we get a little bit more racing luck for him, especially on an outside post today.
Interesting. All right. 8-1 and
12-1.
12-1. That's right. 12-1.
Let's see, you mentioned Bank It. I don't have too much to say, except I love that this horse is 3-7 specifically in show and third when he runs this distance. But I mean, Sheldon and Steve they always get results together. Again, a bit of an outside post speed advantage and then I'm just going down the line. Al Loves Josie. I don't love the distance for Al Loves Josie. He's got to prove it to me. I mean, he's going so well, and I'm very surprised, but I need to see it at the 7 furlong distance. Factor It In. Carlos Mancilla, Angel Cruz. Really, I'm going to put the pressure on Angel right now, as it's kind of what he does with this horse. He was very much the best in the Chaladon, if you go back in that effort. But definitely, he had the right trip to make him the best horse in that race. On top of the fact that he was just going so well. But all of the wins with Angel have been on outside posts. I don't mean to say this in a bad way, but hopefully he took some notes from Georgie Ruiz's ride to see what this horse prefers. So Angel's going to have to make a trip work for him in this field today.
There it is. Your Frank Whiteley and a terrific sequence. Pick 5 with the 4 stakes. It ends with that maiden turf race. Do you have a pick in that maiden 11th?
Maiden 11, yes, I do. Let me scroll down to it really quick. I go with Blame to Rulemaker on the outside for Jeremy Duarte, Victor Carrasco. Let me take a look at my notes. Winner of that field last out was entered in, that was a Chad Brown filly, Chad Brown horse that entered in the Transylvania and then was a scratch. So it'll be interesting what Chad does with that horse. But as far as Coast Along, I get it. With McGahee and Boyce, they always team up very well. The half-sibling, Poker, had won first time out, but Coast Along is really the first turf runner amongst these half-siblings. the dam was a sprinter and a router on the dirt. So in that last race, lost out to a pair of Clement horses and a Fletcher horse, who have been decent runners at Gulfstream Park and Keeneland in those next time out efforts. The winner is a Jack Sisterson runner who is going to be running an allowance on Saturday at Keeneland, I believe in the fifth. So I need to, I haven't seen enough from the field that this Coastal Long was in last time out, but Forrest understands this Laurel Turf very well. She times it very well, so I won't, as long as she can get the horse up there in contention, then I don't see it with being a problem. So I would Exactivox the 9 and the 7 in the last.
Yeah, the ones that have run and the ones that have had turf experience, if it feels like you can get away, it should be one or the other to end the pick five and the pick four. The pick four starts with the Whiteley. Callie, it's a fun day, and we'll be watching, and thank you.
We'll be happy for anybody who watches here in Maryland. This is the start of our spring stakes series. So we've got some action, of course, this weekend, as we just talked about, and we'll have some action next weekend for you guys. And don't forget about our jackpot carryover. It carries over every race in the specific sixth race.
Very good. Callie, Miss Francois to you. Next week, what do you got next week, stake-wise? Is the stakes?
Stakes next week. What did we just talk about? We just talked about the Heavenly Cause. Let me get.
I've got it here.
I just talked about it on the morning show yesterday.
Hold on, I can pull it up too. I've got.
We have the King Leatherberry.
Oh yeah, the Native Dancer and the Primanetta.
Yep.
And the Dahlia.
Yes, I love the Dahlia.
Who doesn't love a nice dahlia?
Exactly.
or dalliance. The 2 weeks in a row. We're after a prolonged absence. So
yes,
we'll talk to you next week.
I'll see you guys next week. Thanks for joining in,
Callie Francois. Everybody, always fun, and she'll be back next week. Nick is driving. Nick Tamaro. So he said, "Come back to him." All right. So we'll come back around. Let's get a hammer then, and we'll get Nick down past the bottom of the hour. Hammer didn't reply when I said I'm going to get to you next. So hopefully he has not. I mean, he knows that we're coming. It's Friday.
Good morning.
There he is. Good morning.
I made a good move coming back upstairs to the room there. Noisy lobby.
Where are you?
I am just outside Santa Cruz, California.
I'm drawing a blank as to what you're up to.
Well, you know, we got a couple of days off. There was a break there at Santa Anita. We can't sit around.
No.
And so Gina said, let's go up to Santa Cruz. And I said, okay, what do you got in mind? Well, we're actually here. It was her idea, but we're coming to at the UC Santa Cruz Libraries, a Grateful Dead archive.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was started 25-some years ago, and I forgot all about it, to tell you the truth, since we moved out of there. And it's a collection of all kinds of stuff from the band and Deadheads throughout like a 25-year run from 1970 to 1995. I'm talking about, you know, it's kind of like the archive in Washington, D.C. There's, you know, boxes and boxes of business records and tour records and posters and communication between the fans and the band and newsletters and art and all kinds of stuff. There's like a couple floors. And it's not really like a museum. It's literally you go in and you say, hey, I'd like to know about the 70s or something. They give you a box and you go through all kinds of stuff. So a little bit of a treat, unexpected. And so we have an appointment at 10. And made our way up through an interesting trip up through mid-central California on roads we've never been on, county roads, following the missions, some of the 21 missions that were built in the 1800s. So historical trip, and then we're going to top it off today with a little intellectualism in the UC Santa Cruz Library.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So it's, I got to tell you, you know, it's tough to find places that we haven't been between here and San Francisco, between LA and San Francisco, but we did. So interesting. The weather's been great. And just, you know, finding out some fantastic, you know, historical stuff and everything else. So, you know, can't sit around. Got to be on the move. Just like you.
Well, and we're going home. We'll actually be home later today, which will be a new experience.
Well, I'm glad Tina was able to join you for the last leg. And you're flying home, right? And then you turn around and go to the Derby.
Yeah, next Friday, after the show, we will make the first leg. Make it usually about 7-8 hours worth of on Friday.
Right.
Ashtabula, somewhere between Erie and Ashtabula is our typical Friday night stayover. It's funny, that trip, it's not as rushed as it used to be. I used to get in the car Friday and go absolutely as far as I could so that I could get up early and get to Churchill by, you know, like 5:30, 6 a.m. for that, you know, for that Saturday workout display. You know, 2 weeks out. I mean, that Saturday is always an important workout day. Now, I literally, the last couple of years, driving on the Saturday morning, I literally am watching the work show as I drive. I mean, so it's gotten to be basically everybody is in attendance for the workouts now, which is great. I mean, that has been one of the real innovations and positives that has happened in the game is the way in which, you know, we all, wherever we are, can watch what's going on every morning. It's great.
Well, you know, it's actually needed with, you know, over the time period of, you know, 10 years, 15 years, horses running less, you know, so you have less to go on, and it's very important to see how they take to the track when they get there, and, you know, if they're sharp, and you can tell, or, you know, the pros can tell if they are taken to the track and if they feel it. And so it's just additional information that's needed. And, you know, after last weekend, we saw some, you know, some good races, especially, you know, that Santa Anita Derby was a really cool race with, like you keep saying, that overlooked practical move. All he does is keep on winning. He did go off at even money this time. But showed a little guts, a little class, holding off the Japanese horse and Skinner as well. So, you know, he's going in. We always have that question. Each time he runs another further, we still question if he can go another eighth of a mile. But he really didn't show any hesitancy in getting him on an eighth and didn't show any reason why he couldn't get another eighth of a mile, right?
I some people are saying that they didn't like the way he finished, much the way some people are unsure about what Forte's performance meant the week before.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, that's the beauty of it. You know how it works that way, and you know it's what's kind of wild is you figure, hey, look, I'm sure you've talked about it ad nauseum, but the normal year, the runner up is in. In a major race like that, not this year. Looking for actually what Skinner's the next one in. If Disarm doesn't get points this weekend, I guess Disarm, all he needs to do is what, finish third. He gets 6 points, which would put him at 46. So he would be in. But we're, you know, we've got a few weeks, and you know, things happen sometimes, and we'll see how it goes. But very cool. You know, interestingly enough, the following race after the Derby, Tim Yachtin had another nail biter with his rivalry with Buzz Buzz. They went toe to toe for the length of the stretch.
And Kangaroo Court.
Kangaroo Court.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to go. I think you'll see him in the Pat Bay Mile, Tim said afterwards.
Yep.
So he'll head that way. And, you know, that was a good race. Kentucky was obviously a nice race, and then the upset. You know, I got to tell you that Lord Miles. I was talking to Jimmy about that horse, and I tried to make a case for him. I had him circled, and I looked at the replay at Tampa, and I'm, you know, you're doing pretty good at the replays. I was looking for one thing that I could back myself up on. One little, you know, little spurt here or there, or a, you know, wrap up down the stretch, just saving it for something. I didn't see anything. I watched it three times. I said, you know, put the old X through it. And then sure enough, I hear his name coming down the stretch. It was pretty, pretty wild. But we talked about that race being wide open anyway. But, it, you know, might be that kind of year in Kentucky. Get the Derby, but I'm looking, still an outside shot. I might go just because of the way things are aligned. I'd love to see you there. Wouldn't, you know, confidence game. I wanted to talk about him last week, but we'll talk about him this week, that he for sure is going to work his way in, and work his way in, meaning work his way up to the race. You know, we saw Keith when you were there. I don't know if did you run into him during the Sanity Handicap Day. He had he had a horse in, and I talked to him, and I think he's great. He's just a good trainer, quiet guy. And so I said, yeah, what are you up to with that horse? And he kind of had a little twinkle in his eye then. He goes, you know what, I just might work him right up to the race.
Wow.
And I could tell then that he was going to do it. And he's got a lot of confidence, obviously, in that horse. And he's going to be overlooked just because of the lack of recency. But I don't know. We'll see how he likes the track. But he knows when he's got a good one.
Well, he worked a mile today. I mean, an official mile.
When's the last time you saw one of those?
Wow.
Right? Let alone leading up. But now he's had this plan for a while. This wasn't a last minute thing. So he's had this in mind the whole time, ever since he crossed the wire there. So I wouldn't, you know, don't you think that it was just a wild thing to do? But the Lexington is the last points race, is that correct?
Yes.
And, you know, very good race. And like we were talking, Disarm needs to run third. And pretty much, if you're not going to run third, you probably don't want to be there anyway. And he probably sets for him to be able to do that, and, you know, could get Winchell and Asmussen into the Derby. You got Arabian Line in there for Baffert, who I think it was written that he could use this as a stepping stone to the Preakness should he run well. But some nice horses in there. You know, they got that second time starter from Belmont, Empire Strikes Fast, who ran a 92 going long first time out, which is a really big number for a first time going long. So a pretty nice race, but I think Disarm will get his points, and they'll decide what they want to do, right?
How do you do this and not run, I suppose? You know, it should be noted that, you know, for those that are saying, well, you know, does this make it, you know, obviously it makes it a little bit more difficult for Skinner and Cyclone Mischief, who sit right now 21 and 22. But the expectation is that Blazing Sevens will almost seemingly not run in Derby. So that would get Jace's Road back in and put, you know, Skinner and Cyclone Mischief in the same spot that they are now. I mean, should Disarm be first, second, or third and get in? And, you know, it's not like, I mean, the race is in 3 weeks from tomorrow. So it's not as if, you know, it's not as if it's the week after. This isn't the Derby trial of you know, the 50s.
No, of years past, for sure. So
not even the 50s. I mean, hell, that's a good question, actually. When the last time the Derby, I'll look that up. When was the last time now the Pat Day Mile, but when was the last time the Derby trial was a week out?
It's a good question. And, you know, obviously back in the day, that was very common for him to prep in that race.
Well, and who, what was it? Was it, there were a couple down the late stages of it. There was a couple of horses that parlayed their way in to Derby, and don't get mad. And Ron Ellis, right? There you go. Don't get mad. Ran in it and then ran fourth in the Derby, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Well, that's totally unlike Ron Ellis to run a horse a week back. So I would have lost a bet on that for sure.
Yeah, April 30th. Here it is. I just pulled it up. Results, April 30th. Derby trial, and then a week later, Kentucky Derby fourth. Yeah, that was Giacomo and the rest of that group. But that didn't answer the question, though. When was the last time it was this close? April, it looks like 2014. 2014 was the last time it was a week out from the Derby. Embellishing Bob, Steve Margolis, Margo, I love it, won it. 40 tails the year before, Yarrow for Asmussen, Hurricane Ike, and Calvin Burrell. That's the Thrashes, right? Hurricane Ike.
I think so. Now, that race turned into the Pat Day Mile, is that correct?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the first year that it was run on the Derby undercard was 2015.
Good. And, you know, it served its purpose. They did a good job moving on Derby Day and let some of the other three-year-olds show off their stuff that are ready to go the mile and a quarter. So, wild history on that race. It'd be interesting. I'm going to do a little checking on that. Oakland has a couple of nice races over the weekend. It's a shame that the Apple Blossom come up with a four bagger, but it's a tough category. You know, over the years it's really been the race, and the two horses that everyone's talking about, Clarier and Secret Oath, and if you think of match race in their head, these are two horses that don't have the style at all whatsoever for a match race, having no speed. And here comes along Norm Cassie batting 36%, who ran away with the Fantasy a couple of weeks ago with Hot and Sultry, a horse that looks like he's going to be on the lead, and stranger things have happened. But ran very well in Azari, and I don't know, maybe he could take him most of the way anyway. We'll see what happens.
I'm still immersed in this. Who was the last Derby trial winner to win a Derby?
Go. Give me a year. God, that's cheating. Give me a decade.
Is that going to give it away? Does that completely give it away?
I don't know. Not terribly. I'm not.
60s.
So that no, I don't. It was in the 60s. I can't even. That's before me. So I'm not. I know pretty much after 70s on. I don't know. I don't. Who would that be?
Actually, wait a minute. Hold on. Because I don't have the. I'm sort of having to go back and forth here. It's actually the 50s. And the race actually famously, if you go further back, there's a couple of runners in it that probably blew their chance in the Derby by running.
Really?
Yeah, because I wrote a piece years ago on early on with Derby, with my Derby trail, and who was it that was a Preakness Belmont winner that went ahead and ran in the Derby trial and then did not win the Derby and probably it was said that he would have, and it might have been Bimelec. In fact, I think it was Bimelec that did it, that won the Derby trial and then fell short in the Derby, but then turned around and won the Preakness. Yeah, that is who it is. It was Bimelec. But if I'm not mistaken, glancing at this, I think Tim Tam was your last Derby winner to win the Derby trial.
Well, that's a while ago, so. I wouldn't have got that, but that just shows you the difference. You look back and you get those racing form books with all those charts in it from the decades. It's amazing how many times these horses had 10 starts before the Derby, things like that. Pretty wild stuff, but, yeah, that's, that's where we are here. And like I said, taking a little bit of a break. San Anita is taking a 9-day break. It was suggested to do that beginning of last year, apparently, and they did it, which is, you know, anytime you're at the same racetrack for, you know, more than 2 or 3 months, it's not a bad idea to take a little break, especially with the turf course being used as much as it was. You know, had a little mishap there on Derby Day, had to take a couple races off. So it's a good time to, you know, get that thing refreshing a little bit and then start back in the meet ends, I believe, June 18th, so a couple of months, and then roll, and then a little Los Al, and then Del Mar will start on the 21st of July this year. So it's a good time to have a break, and I think they'll finish up well. It's been a wild year everywhere, but especially out here with the weather, the rain, and I tell you, driving up through the central mountains, we'd actually taken county roads, like I said, G16, G18, in between one, because one is blocked, Highway 1 is blocked halfway up, so you couldn't go all the way up, so we went partial of the way and then cut over, but roads in between just covered with vineyards, like I said, from Paso Robles all the way up to Monterey, just, I mean, it's just incredible. Hillside after hillside, and green as could be. Never seen them like that this time of year. So beautiful time to be out on the road here in Central California, that's for sure. And we get it in as when we can, and I'll be back in action next Friday.
Excellent. Hammer, fantastic.
Well, have a safe trip home, and I'll probably report on a few tidbits that we're able to see hopefully today in the Grateful Dead archive at UC Santa Cruz, home of the banana slugs.
That's right. I've seen the logo. Hammer, enjoy. It sounds like a great, fun, offbeat trip.
So far, so good. And you enjoy your trip home, and everyone, see you at the races.
Rick Hammerly, everybody, away they go. And we'll talk next week ahead of a couple of stakes at Santa Anita as they get a little kind of a refresh. It's interesting regarding that little break and the way in which Mark Glatt came up with the horse that he sends at Keeneland, and we talked to Mark while we were in California, about this kind of topic, about planting a flag. I said this is his second runner. Ironic Twist is who we're talking about tomorrow in the 11th. And is very eligible in there. All right. Well, I'm just Nick is. We're not sure if we got Nick. Waiting to hear back. He was kind of tied up, he said, in the car. But all right. Then let's see if we can't swing things around a little early, about 10 minutes earlier than expected. Well, let me see if I can't get Billy Stinson and get that conversation in from last week. Billy Stinson is going to join us, and an absolute pleasure. Billy, congratulations. That was about as fun a win and a great way to start the stakes sequence Saturday at Keeneland.
Yeah. Hey, that's just like winning the Masters.
Right? This is such a fun story between you and the owner breeder Nathan Hayden. His first, from what I understand, first horse he's ever bred.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I love it. And you know, for you, you've had nice horses, but this is the best you've had your hands on.
Oh yeah, by far the best. Yeah,
give us a little bit of the backstory, and you know, he's you know, it was easy in retrospect to see that this horse had a big shot. He had never been worse than second in those three tries at Keeneland. And, you know, he had the winter at Turfway getting legged up on the synthetic. There was a lot of things actually to like.
We've been at Indiana. We've been at Horseshoe Indianapolis since after Christmas. We just hauled from here over there to Turfway to run.
I love it. His previous starts. I mean, talk about the decision to run in here.
It was our plan the whole time. We had it kind of mapped out to run in that one, and it all worked out good. The next spot that we had picked out for him was the Knicks Go at Churchill, going a mile, but now that he won the stake, he's not eligible for that. So now we're looking at the Churchill Downs, the it's a Grade One on Derby Day.
How about that? It's unbelievable. He's a 5-year-old. Talk about his development with you and you know the way in which he just seemingly is improving as he gets older.
I got him as a 3-year-old. He didn't make it to the races at 2, which you know a lot of them don't. And I got him as a 3-year-old. And I mean his first couple races, I mean he just kind of run real green. And just from there on out, I mean, every time he is give us his all. You know, he has never run a bad race. So it's pretty cool to have a horse like him in the barn.
Well, and then to go and get yourself the graded stake win, and when it comes to Alex Achard, he's won a couple other graded stakes, including a Grade One, and he knows the horse too, so he can judge the pace with him and make the move accordingly. It feels like they get along well.
Yeah, Alex, he was riding him, and then he got hurt, and then we was glad to get Alex back on him. And like you said, he knows him and he likes him, and that makes a big difference when the rider knows the horse and likes the horse. It's been a ride. It's been a ride.
Billy, talk about Mr. Hayden too, and as a client, and how this came about with him getting the De Hare mare, meet Vieira, and everything that went into breeding this horse.
An old guy that used to run harness horses claimed that mare off of Todd Fletcher. She had a breathing problem. I mean, it was supposed to have been a nice mare, but she had a breathing problem. And they claimed her, and they run her several times and never done no good with her. And he was just lifelong friends of theirs. And so he ended up, I ain't sure what the deal was. I mean, he gave him the mare. And they bred her, and they had another baby first before this one out of her. I don't remember the full story on it, but it never made it to the racetrack. And then he's the second one. And then they had another filly after him. And she was really fast, but she was too fast to hold together. I mean, she didn't hold together at 2 and didn't hold together at 3. So, and I think they might be going to run her through the sale now.
Well, why not?
So, yeah, why not?
Graded stake, graded stake producing mare. And, this gelding, obviously, he's hitting his stride. And for you, I mean, let's talk about you and I know your dad trained. Talk about your background in the game.
We've been at it for a while, and mostly with the cheaper claimers. You know, we'd claim something, run it a few times and lose it, and we had some decent horses, but we've been doing it a while.
What did you grow up helping your dad? What was he a full-time trainer?
No, he worked out operating engineers, and him and one of my uncles went in partners on a horse, and they done pretty good with it. And then he upped and bought an old horse from a guy that was quitting. He bought all of his tack and everything, the old horse, and that's what got us started. That was the horse that, first horse I ever galloped. He was old Fiddlesticks. And we just kind of kept on going from there.
Oh, that's great. That was in the
80s. Yeah. It was in the early 80s, and then he retired from operating engineers. And I kind of took over, which he was always around, and my mom, she was always around. I mean, it was a family deal, we had fun. I mean, we had the cheap horses, and here we are.
That's so great. Well, after you won, it was just a couple of minutes later that Ben Huffman was up in the press box, and Ben had a huge smile, and he told me about you. He told me about Mr. Hayden, and he was so excited. Everybody, watching Scott Hazelton, talking to you, it's inspiring, Billy, to people that only have a handful of horses. And the idea of coming to Keeneland and winning a graded stake, it's got to be, one of the kinds of things that people think about, especially in the region.
Right. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Ben first got his job for the racetrack. He was paddock judge at Ellis Park, and I was outrider at Ellis Park at that time. I'd quit training and outrode a few different places. Ben was the paddock judge there. So we go way back. I mean, he's I call him a good friend. I mean, he takes care of me.
I love it. That is so great. Well, I mean, the idea of coming to Churchill, Derby weekend to run in the Grade One. I mean, this will be an experience.
I mean it's cool that it is Derby Day and stuff, but I'm not looking forward to all the Derby hassle.
When it came to your outriding career, how long did you outride?
I worked at Ellis Park for a couple years. And then Birmingham down there, it opened back up, and I went down there and worked 3 or 4 years down there at Birmingham. And then I was the outrider at Hoosier Park the first 2 years they run at Hoosier Park. And then when Birmingham shut down, I was down to just the only thing I had left was Hoosier Park. So then I had to find something else, couldn't make a living on just a couple month a year job.
No.
So then I went back to I went to Whirlpool. I went to Whirlpool and worked there for about 5 years.
Huh.
And then when they sold out and went to Mexico or wherever they went to, I was helping a buddy of mine build houses, and I saved up all my unemployment checks and claimed my first horse back when I started back. And he got beat in the nose the first time, and then he went 3 in a row and got claimed. So I just kept investing that money back in.
Unbelievable. And you've how many clients do you have?
Just Nathan right now. Just Nathan. I had a couple Indiana breeds for really super good guy. And we retired her last year. We retired her. She's 9 and was sound, and she was good to us. So we just had and retired her. And now my little girl's riding her at home. She's riding her.
I love it. So, I mean, but you would you take clients on?
Yeah. I do all of it myself. I do everything myself. I mean, from shoeing them, everything but galloping them. I got too old and fat to do that anymore. But I do it all myself, and And hell, I used to be able to take care of 8 or 10 as long as I got my walking machine by myself. But I just turned 61 years old a few days ago, and I don't move as good as I used to.
Well, I hear that. That's amazing. Wow, you put your hands on all of them. How many are you training right now?
I just got two here at the track now. I run the other one, and I took him on home after he run at Turfway. He's a poly track horse. So I took him home the other day and going to give him a break. He hadn't had a break in a long time. And we got another one there at home that I'll start back with when we get to move in Ellis on May the 1st. So that's home. So, you know, everybody wants to go home. And then Nathan, he's wanting to claim something. He has so much fun. I don't know of any owner in the world that smiles as much and is having as much fun as he is. I mean, he's having a ball.
Well,
so he has mentioned something about, you know, maybe claiming a couple. So we'll look, and I'm always looking for something else for me, you know.
Sure.
But like I say, I don't want a whole lot because help's hard to find, and I'm so darn picky, which Ben can tell you I want to do it myself.
This is so great. Talking to Billy Stinson Jr., if you saw the Commonwealth on Saturday, mid-card, started the stake sequence, and here was Hear My Song, just under 12 to 1. Anybody bet?
I don't ever bet on hell. I think I could have took $5 across the board and made American Pharoah run fourth. But Nathan come back with a pretty good load.
Well, and of course, you got $175,000. He gets $174,375 was the winner's share coming out of the Commonwealth. And, you know, Billy, one thing that's very evident when you look at you know, the last 12, 14 years, you've been sending horses out. I mean, you win. You win with whatever kind of horse that you end up with. You've been a consistent winner. So it's obvious that, you know, you can train a horse that's got some talent.
I think so, you know. And you know, your main way to win a horse race is to be in the right horse race. So you just kind of got to pick your spots. And when I'm looking to claim something, you know, I'm very picky. I mean, I'll look through a whole week's worth of cards, and I won't see nothing that I would want. And I'll go back and look at the results, and there'll be 15 or 20 claims, you know. I'm pretty picky, you know, and you got to do your homework.
What do you look for? Talk about the process, and if you're looking for a horse with conditions, you're looking for a horse that's been put in the wrong races, essentially?
Yeah, horses that's been in the wrong races, and horses that's consistent, you know, that when they do get beat, it's not because they just didn't put out effort. The consistency mostly. And then knowing the trainers and knowing how a lot of them train, you know, all horses are different. You got to train them all different. And just claim a good, consistent horse and keep them fit and keep them happy and run them in the right spots.
Well, and with you, if you're doing your own shoeing, I mean, we talk about it all the time that you know, horses, if horses are off for any reason, a lot of times you can start by working their feet and working your way up.
Yep, the feet, that's the first thing that hits the ground.
Exactly. You mentioned your little girl riding a retiree. What about your family? What do you got for a family?
Well, she's just like mine. I've been with her since her first birthday, and she's going to be 17 now. And then my girlfriend, which she trained and she galloped for me for a long time, and then a loose horse run into her on the racetrack one day and broke a bunch of ribs and messed her up pretty good. I mean, she's okay now, but she quit galloping. That was the end of her galloping. So that's pretty much what it is. Just me and Kim and Josie.
That's great. You're in Henderson?
Yeah. We're from Henderson, Kentucky, right there on the Indiana line at Ellis Park.
Well, and then, you know, Billy, you've got to appreciate as much as anybody what has gone on in Kentucky between, you know, starting at Kentucky Downs and then spreading to Ellis, now Turfway, and obviously, you know, Keeneland and Churchill. But the, you know, the historic horse racing has made it very easy to stay home, and you know, the way you're set up, you're in a prime position.
Yeah. I mean, we stay. Which this is the first time in a long time that I've even had to leave home, but we had some circumstances come up where we had to come up here to Indiana Grand or Horseshoe Indianapolis, and it's paid off. I mean, we run good. We run good at Turfway, and like you said, with the machines and the purses, which makes the competition a little harder. But still, we've been lucky enough to get our part of it.
All right, and you're gonna have you'll run at Indiana before Ellis opens.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I got a couple that I'll run up there. I don't think there's nothing for the gray horse, unless it would be some kind of a stake race. But yeah, we'll run at Indiana. That's about all. Mostly Kentucky, and then just up here at Indiana. A few years back, we hauled some from home down to Oaklawn. And we run some down there, but it's been quite a few years back that we run down there and stuff, which super nice place. Yeah, I really liked it down there.
Well, and the big money, they're running for big money there, too. When does Dream Factor come back after the maiden win?
They hung up an extra up here for, that'll be for next Tuesday. And it's an extra, so who knows if they'll use it or not. And if they don't use it, then there's a race for him on opening day at Churchill.
Well, you know, this is a horse, we just got a couple of minutes to wrap up, but this is a horse that you own, Dream Factor, and you dipped him down into Maiden Claiming Company, and you got down to 7,500, and he responded, you know, with the maiden breaker and a game maiden breaker on the front end under Fernando de la Cruz at 23-1, and you know, you walked home with him, and so now, you know, you can play around with him, and he's eligible for starter races. I mean, I can see exactly, you know, how you approach things.
If he gets, you know, I mean, if he gets that good and gets it all figured out and stuff, I mean, yeah, that is one of the pluses. Yeah, he is eligible for them starter races, but he's such a big, tall, long-legged feller, and still he has not really figured out what to do with them big long legs. I breezed him this morning a little bit, and the riders had all ride him. I mean, they all like him and stuff. But we'll just have to see what happens. I mean, we're just riding the song right now. He's packing us through, and it's pretty fun. It's, I mean, he's having fun. We're having fun,
I love it. Well, Billy Stinson, congratulations to you and Mr. Hayden and Alex Shard, of course. Really, this will be a tremendous story going into Derby Week, and look forward to seeing you there. And delighted to be able to, you know, bring you on air and introduce you to everybody.
Okay, appreciate it.
Not at all. Billy Stinson Jr., everybody. And, I mean, you just look at his record, and you can see that he's got, he just wins. He wins every year, you know, breaks a couple of maidens, starter allowances. That's a valuable lesson. You know, run them where they can win, and that's it. And if you lose them, you lose them. And you go get something else and do it again. It just makes you feel good. It's a feel-good story, big time. And obviously for the owner, breeder, Nathan Hayden. But thanks to Ben Huffman. I mean, Ben immediately said to me, he said, this is a great story with these, and I didn't realize he knew him that long and that well. You know, obviously Ben knows everybody, and you know they all come to him for, you know, for stall help and whatever Churchill and Keeneland related racing office needs, and you imagine you get a real feel for why Ben Huffman is so liked and respected, just listening to Billy there. So he's going to run in the grade one. That's so great. I was really looking forward to this all week. So I normally wouldn't on a Friday do it, but and actually it worked out fine because Nick was tied up. So Nick will join it. Nick said he'll make it up next week with a couple of visits. All right. So Billy Stinson Jr. and before that, Hammer and Scott Shapiro, Callie Francois for the Laurel action. Marcus, Steve Anderson live from Aintree. That was a lot of fun. And of course, Scully and Marty McGee. Got us all rolling. So there it is. We'll send you out into the weekend. Replay tomorrow morning, 5 to 8, here on Sirius XM. If you missed anything, and archive podcast available later this afternoon, like early evening. And best of luck today. Good race day. I'll try to get some. I did get to a printer this morning here at Fairgrounds. So I've got PPs to work on, and I'll try to get some action up. Gus has got the Keeneland pick five today. It's up at the, it'll be up at the website shortly. And I will talk to you from home on Monday, believe it or not, before we head back to Kentucky. Thanks to everybody that made this possible here at Fairgrounds this week. As mentioned, Ty and Lonnie and Jason Boulay at the team at Jazz Fest. Thanks, folks. Talk to you Monday.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Nominate now for Penn National's biggest day of the season, the $400,000 Grade 2 Penn Mile and the $150,000 Penn Oaks will both run Friday, June 2nd, on a card that also includes four Pennsylvania bread stakes, each with a $100,000 purse. Call the racing office at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse, 800-233-8238. That's 800-233-8238. Nominations close May 17th. Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner and breeder and stallion owner and developer. It's the best kept secret in racing till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Racing fans, come join us for great racing and good times this weekend at Spectacular.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the greatest of all time was a horse?
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
Racing fans, come join us for a great race.